Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Nothing says I love you like a big brand fragrance from Chemist Warehouse this Valentine's Day.
Guys, I didn't realise that Rich Uncle Mao might be keeping fellow politicians as prisoners.
Yeah, that staircase was quite a... I think it's in a basement. He said it was the home gym, but it was too many stairs to a home gym.
When you got Christopher Pine downstairs, you've got to really worry.
Yeah, you do, and have a lot of stairs.
Old Malcolm Fritzel.
Oh, yes. And we had that chat about Sam Burgess, the mystery of how his wife has let him back into her life.
Yeah, I had a good theory, don't you think?
Better than Marto's little Sam.
Yes.
Analogy.
Being threatened.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Ah, he's written this down for me. Australia's greatest living former Prime Minister, also known as Rich Uncle Mao. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you, Brendo. To you, Nick Cody, Robin Bailey, and of course, Marto. I love listening to a little bit of, what's his name?
Paul Kelly.
There you go. Paul Kelly, yeah. There's some crazy organ in there, isn't there, right at the end?
Yeah.
That one's really on the Hammond, hammering it away.
Yes.
Always.
You know,
Paul Kelly, that's the man's name.
You know so much about music, sir, because have you heard they're talking about exhuming Michael Jackson?
What?
Well, I heard this, Robin Bailey, and I think, what's going on? You know, they're going to reshoot the Thriller film clip. Because it'd be quite scary, wouldn't it, with zombie Michael? But I'm a big fan of the Jacksons, you know. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Dung, 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 dung. I go right back to the Jackson 5s. I go early back catalogue, you know, with Tito and Jermaine and the whole gang. Really, ABC 123. But no, let's leave Michael in the ground. I think it's best off.
Mate, this music knowledge is just flowing out of you, Rich Uncle Mel.
A lot flows out of me, Nick. ideas, syntax, and beautiful words and rounded vowels.
Okay.
Now, we've got word, mate. We believe Christopher Pine is over at your house.
Christopher often visits when he's in Sydney. He comes up to the Piper and goes down into my gymnasium to exercise on the rower. I'll go and get him, shall I?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, here I go, down the stairs. Oh, this is very much theatre of the radio, isn't it? Oh,
nice.
It's a wooden staircase. It's wrong because it's actually marble at my place. Christopher, the people in Brisbane want to speak to you. Oh, you can probably hear him on the rower now. Enough with the stairs already, Brendo.
Yeah. It's a long staircase.
It's a very long staircase. Christopher.
You're a rich man.
I'll just hand over to you now. He's just, I think, finished. Hello, I'm just finishing my kilometre.
Okay. Christopher,
are you all right? Hey, can I ask you a question, Christopher? You're there?
Yes, you can. Is that Marto?
Marto, yes, I've spoken to you before.
I like you, Marto. I like the cut of your jib. Good on you. You're a wallaby. Well, who doesn't want to be a marsupial? I do. Can I jump in your pouch?
Christopher, in a recent article, you talk about how upset you were after Malcolm was sacked.
Yes, I was in tears all the way home to Adelaide. It was inconsolable. My man, the one that I had made king, Prime Minister of Australia, they took him away from me. It was like a death. And I went home to my wife and four children. Yes, I am married. And I don't want any sniggering either.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Frightful and disrespectful. Anyway, I had to console myself by working on the submarines because, as you know, I love anything that's long and hard. And, well, you know.
Yes, we know, sir. Okay.
Why are you laughing at me?
No, we're not.
Get back on the rower in a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think there's a problem with Australian politics?
Yes, I do. I think that the media is incredibly shrill, and I think that it's just, you know, slathering and frothing for blood all the time, and they've turned the leadership into a leadership abattoir. That's what we're calling it in Canberra, and people need to grow up and settle down. They become febrile. And I know that you people, you know, your show's too lowbrow to have any politics on it, and we like that, and we applaud it. Keep everybody in the dark and just play classic hits. Good on you. Now, I'm going to get back on the row. I'll get back to Malcolm.
Okay.
Is Malcolm back up the stairs? Where is he gone?
Oh, come on, come back up the stairs with me, and I'll get you some foie gras out of the fridge. This is really good theatre.
Sounds like it might take a couple of hours to get up those stairs for Chuckle Mouse. I'm going to let you go.
By the time I get to the top, I'll rock somewhere for you.
Is he in a dungeon? He's lying down in a dungeon.
No, I'm going upstairs, Nick. Please, suspend your disbelief.
Are you going to rock anywhere, sir?
Triple M rocks Redback.
Oh, Redback.
I've never been there, and I never will. On your...
Oh, yeah, we love Trev because he is our tech expert from EFTM.com.au because last night on the news there was this story.
Oops. Well, it was about Putin, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. No, don't have it. Okay. Trev, you there?
Oh, no.
I am here. Unlike the Russian internet, I'm here.
Well, exactly right, because they were saying, hang on, we've got it now. This is the story.
Russia is going offline, disconnecting from the global internet to test its cyber defences.
Okay, what does that mean, Trev?
So basically what they're worried about is what happens if a cyber war breaks out, and that's where, you know, countries like us, maybe China more likely, attack via the internet. And so what they want to do is they want to basically switch off the internet outside of Russia, because I'll give you the example of Australia. In Australia, we've all got computers. They're all on the internet. The internet is just a network of computers. So how do we access websites in America? There's a big cable under the sea, and then there's some satellites. So what they're essentially doing is disconnecting any of those links that go outside the country to test what works, to test how well they can make sure Russians can still get access to Russian stuff, but also to put in place potentially a bit of a Chinese-style filter. If you've ever been to China, when you search for Tiananmen Square on Wikipedia, it's a very different page to the one that we get here in Australia.
Really?
What does it say?
Way?
Just a good time? Yeah.
It doesn't mention the bad times. It only mentions the good times. The internet is filtered, you know. The government literally restricts what people see on the internet. And Russia, by doing this, will be able to create a network that allows them to potentially filter the internet in that same way for their citizens.
So we could do that here in Australia if we wanted to. We can somehow filter the worldwide web just to an Australian web, can we?
Well, essentially, yeah. You know, last time the words internet filter were used in Parliament, though, it pretty much brought the Labor government down. So Australians not a big fan of being filtered, you know, because it's possible, theoretically, for a filter to be placed on the internet that says, don't let people access inappropriate content. Don't let people access, you know, terrorism information. But because we want a free and open internet, that never happened.
So no chance that he's preparing for war or something similar?
No, look, I think this is, I would argue this is absolutely part of the process of preparing for a cyber war in the exact same way that, you know, warships play off the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Oceans, you know, in demonstrations. But you've got to do it. You've got to switch it off to work out what's going to go wrong. So that's what they're going to do before April. They're going to switch it off in some way to work out what does and doesn't work and to fix it and make sure they've got control.
Now, I assume Russia doesn't have the fastest internet. I'm picturing, like, you know, 56K modem. So for them to turn it off, will Mum just have to pick up the phone?
That's a good point. Good old days when you just pick up the phone and interrupt your sibling's internet by just having a phone call. No, I think they're pretty advanced. They're not quite as advanced as perhaps us or America, but they're certainly not a third world country when it comes to internet.
Can I check? Somewhere like North Korea that control their population, they don't have the internet, I suppose.
They think they have the internet, but they have what Russia's going to test for a couple of days, which is basically just a Korean network.
Wow.
Right? If you think of the internet as the international network, well, you know, if there was an AusNet, it'd just be computers in Australia connected, and that's what North Korea have.
What about China? What China got? They'd have one that has control too, wouldn't they?
That's right. So China have got what they think is the internet, but what they don't realise is there's a bunch of stuff being stopped from working. So I think it might have changed now, but Gmail, the Google Mail service, didn't work in China for many years because they just blocked it. And that doesn't work. So if you go to gmail.com, just nothing.
But this would be an interesting process because Russians would know what they're missing out on if for a couple of days it stops.
Well, it all depends what you look at. So, for example, if you're looking at, you know, the Triple M website, that's hosted here in Australia. So if the undersea cables between here and America went down, that would still work and Aussies could still access it. But Americans could not access it. So they couldn't get in, but we could get to it. So it's all about where the property is that you're trying to access. And in this case, that's what they're going to discover. And I think we would be surprised to know how many of our things are actually offshore and not sitting on computers here in Australia.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, Trev. Our tech expert, EFTM.com.au.
So Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Remember the other day, Demi from Fernie Hills, well, just listen to this. She gave us a ring and we went, oh, that's a little bit different.
We chose to homeschool, just something different that we've chosen for our family because we want them to actually be in the world, not preparing for the real world in a room.
All right. And we
asked her about that and she explained that, you know, she only had one child at of school age and she was happy to homeschool for the moment.
Yeah, for the moment. We'll see how it all goes. No, and then the reason I bring it up, because I read in the paper, the Courier Mail this morning, there's 3,200 homeschooled kids in Queensland. Does that seem...
Oh, really?
I was thinking 100. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was so unusual to homeschool. But 3,200, and they reckon the big suburbs, Glasshouse Mountains, Morayfield, North Lakes, all on
Morayfield.
The north.
Morayfield. Yeah. Morayfield. Really?
Maybe on acreage. There's a lot of acreage up that way, maybe there.
Sorry. Glasshouse Mountains, Morayfield, where else?
And North Lakes, which is a lot of English people at North Lakes, to tell you the truth, English new arrivals.
3,200 homeschool kids. That's enough to make like a massive
school.
Homeschool at all these kids.
Well, the thing is, they talk about it in the paper, they're going, they're not getting enough exercise.
What? Homeschool kids?
Because it's so unstructured, obviously, and there's a few homeschool mums going, nonsense, my kid gets more exercise.
I would have thought they'd get more because they do really condensed lessons, so 1 or 2 hours as opposed to 6, and then they'd be out playing.
Are you sure they're out playing? Well, that's what the paper's claiming. And a few homeschool mums are going, no, we factor in, because every primary school kid has exercise factored into their day at school. So
yeah, they do now.
They're saying they're getting more. Well, quite simply, we'd never even thought about homeschooling before.
Oh, man, I'd be out in grade 3 when it comes to maths.
It's too hard.
Absolutely. That would just be so tough on my brain. It's not that big. Like, I talk for a living. There's a reason.
So is there a course you do? Or like, have you got to get ticked off by someone?
Well, they get a curriculum.
Oh, do they?
And they have to then follow the curriculum. And I think there are supports in place for parents
who want to homeschool. Why do you do it? Tell me the reason. Nick, if you know anyone, I don't know person who homeschooled.
There's a bikie near my old place in Melbourne that I assume is homeschooling because he's got a chemistry set in a caravan. So yes, he must be teaching science to someone.
Well, the number has tripled in the last 5 years. Okay, so it's becoming popular. I just want to hear, is anyone out there homeschooling? And what are the implications? Why are you?
I'd love to hear from someone who was homeschooled. Melissa of Bribie Island, tell us, what's your experience?
So we have one child being homeschooled and one still in mainstream school, so you don't have to homeschool both children.
Oh.
I'm also a full-time school teacher at a primary school.
Homeschools your child that's at home?
My husband does it. I make the curriculum up for my child, and my husband left his full-time job to do this.
Wow.
So to get the one-on-one.
So yes. How old is the child that's homeschooled?
He is 9.
What a pain when the other kid goes home and says, you should have seen what happened at school today. Oh, I didn't go.
However, the other one gets a lot more opportunities for excursions and whatnot.
Instead of dad just taking him down the shops.
That's an excursion. You have to get your parents to sign off on that one.
Why homeschool just one?
Because the older child needed it. My younger child is very academic. She has won a few awards already for different subjects at the top of her class. It just worked out. My son's hearing impaired on one side, so we got him away from the background noise of a busy classroom.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And he excels one-on-one.
And your husband and he are having a great experience together.
We are, and because we live at Bribie, the beach is right there.
Oh,
so,
my
you know.
God, excursion, surf lessons.
Thanks, Melissa. And Aaron, morning.
How are you?
Good. Now, your daughter, is that right, is homeschooled?
Yeah, that's correct. She was, I've got a son as well, but he's in mainstream school. He's going well, but
another one.
My daughter, she is dyslexic, so she was in grade 5, equivalent to grade 2 and 3, so she was failing pretty bad. So we decided to do distance education, which is homeschool, but it's a little bit different. Now, with that, for any parents out there that want to look into it, it's actually... There's a lot of work involved in it, but my daughter's gone from failing to getting B's and C's in the first year with last year. Now, she's actually a dancer as well, so what happens there, she trains 4 nights a week. She's got plenty of friends there, plus with the distance education, things like that, they have group meetings through social media, and the kids get together there. So interacting with other kids, there's plenty of that.
So she needed more attention because of the dyslexia. She needed more attention, and she's getting it and thriving.
Oh, mate, absolutely, absolutely.
Isn't that good?
So, yeah, basically, I'm all for it. I've got a lot of people go, oh, you know, that's pretty cool on a child doing that. Well, no, it's not. My kids, my little girl's a lot happier now than what she was. She was, you know, getting picked on at school and sort of things.
And isn't the distance education, there's a big building in West End. Is that right? Am I thinking the right thing?
We don't know. We actually go through Redwood College at Narangba.
Oh.
They interact. The teacher comes out too. She's met and things like that, but she can get on the phone. They've got the iPad and everything there if there are any difficulties that she wants to run through.
So authorities keep an eye on you guys that you're doing the right thing by your daughter?
Yeah, that's right. She's got to log in every morning. She has tests. At the end of the day, in a few years' time, she gets the same certification as schools.
Right.
It's incredible, right?
We learned something.
Yes.
I wonder if you can do it in high school. Man, that'd be hard.
But good one if kids are getting bullied.
No, true. Okay, thanks.
I like it.
Well done. Breakfast, Triple M.
Okay, so let's just put out the facts. Sam Burgess plays for the Rabbitohs, right?
Yeah.
He was married or is married to a woman called Phoebe, who I know a bit from through social media. She's a journalist and she's done some stuff with Mamma Mia. And she seems like a really cool chick. Anyway, she had their second child in December last year, and then a couple of weeks before Christmas, they split.
They split after she had their second child, didn't they?
Yes, and the baby was Billy, was only like 2 or 3 weeks old. It was really tough. So clearly something happened that made that go down.
Now, do you know the sequence of events?
No, I don't.
Nick, maybe to explain it to you as well. So in May last year, I think it was around May, the Rabbitohs played the Warriors, and they celebrated. They had a couple of drinks, but they were... Would you say sexting? They were having a video call with a girl. Now, this is more than one, right? A heap of them. But it was on his phone, on his social media account, whatever. And some of them exposed themselves. Mm-hmm. They never really got to the bottom of it. All right, so it got, I don't know
dealt
who
with.
Knew it. That. No, it didn't seem to get dealt with. The woman complained but didn't really want to be interviewed about it, okay? And it popped its head up. So that's May in September. They're playing in the finals, and the week before they had to play, it was a very difficult time for the Rabbitohs. They said, no problems at all.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it contributed and then getting knocked out of the finals. Who knows? And then he went, that seemed to have disappeared, and he was, no problems. But then when they separated, that was November, I suppose.
Yeah, November, early December.
Was that the reason, or was there something else? Was little Sam involved with, was he poking his head out of the, who knows?
See,
it's got to be something bad as a,
to leave.
As a dad of a four-month-old, no wife is kicking you out of the house with a three-week-old baby for no good reason.
See,
they're trying to keep you around as much as possible.
So then Russell Crowe's his great mentor, friends with his mum and all the rest of it, and loves the brothers. And so he was... canoodling him. And I believe he's been staying with a bloke called Anthony Bell, who's a mate of a few mates. He's a big-time accountant. He owns that big boat that always goes in the Sydney to Hobart, Perpetual Loyal. Yeah, where all the celebrities always go on it. So he's been staying at his $12 million mansion.
Right.
Very good accountant.
Yes, very, yes.
Okay, see, I don't think any of that is the reason why they've reconciled. And you used the one word that is the highlight for me, and that is the word mum. I think that Sam Burgess's mum, there's been lots of reports of, her name's Julie, and yes, she was the one that was apparently involved with Russell Crowe for a period of time. There was speculation. Okay,
yes.
So, but it has been known that the Burgess boys are very close to their mum.
Yes.
And that Phoebe didn't get on with Julie, the mum.
Well, do you know, as soon as Sam moved out of the house, Phoebe's mum moved in.
Right.
And her sister.
But
it's one
I
of those
think,
siege mentality things.
I think that it was maybe Sam's relationship with his mother that has caused the problems.
Wow.
And that now Phoebe has said, if you choose me over your mum...
Are you serious?
...you can come back.
Righto.
Because I agree with you. It takes a massive thing, particularly with a newborn baby, to kick out the one other person who can help you and loves your children as much as you.
So everyone, you might get to this stage, Nick. So when you have your second child, it's usually the girl knows. Do you reckon Sam Burgess's mum has tried to come and look after the first child?
No, I think that there's been some intervention, and she's just gone, either you pick me or you pick your mother.
Oh, he's... But he sold out his mum.
And finally, he's gone, okay, Phoebe, I'm going to pick you. and therefore he's back into the family home. That's my kind of take on it, because if it was another woman or he'd slept with someone, that would have come out. But if it's a family thing where it involves members of the family, that would be kept under
wraps. I just figured she'd threaten to cut it off if he did it again.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Listen, we're talking about we need to talk about Valentine's Day, because I'm only a recent convert. Only in the last 4 years have I realised that being a dinosaur who buries your head in the sand, I used to say, oh, it was invented by florists. Oh, it's a Hallmark holiday. Yeah, that sort of thing.
I do think that. I mean, I think it's an age thing. Like my 16-year-old is wanting to take his girlfriend out to dinner.
Oh, no, that's right.
Tomorrow, because that's what you do when you're 16. And he saved all him Target and he's got $100 to spend. And he wanted to ask me where he should take his girlfriend. So for young ones.
McDonald's. What did you recommend?
Well, I was naming all these things and he's going, oh, Mum, that's like a pub. I want something special. And then he thought that maybe he should go to Kabuki at, you know, that Japanese restaurant. I said, no, mate, that's not going to
No, hold it. Yeah, you're going to split a sushi roll.
See, some people will take it too far. That's $100 of hard-earned money. That's too much.
But all I'm saying is it's young people who tend to get completely obsessed with Valentine.
What will she do for him?
She'll buy him something cute, like a teddy, I reckon.
Oh, do you want
just
cute?
What he wanted.
Yeah, I think that's what they do. Like, it's their first real
function. I want functional, like a $4.95 fill-up meal from KFC or a six-pack of Jim Beam or something you can use, something you can get your hands on. I just believe, now you were going to tell me how much flowers are. I've been told that by a dozen flowers, this is my information, a dozen roses costs about $50, $60 normally. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, Woolies have got a half dozen for $25.
Right, oh, well, let's go, $50. I believe tomorrow it will cost $100. So it's about to get delivered, especially, is about 100, maybe even more
even
to deliver.
More. Yeah.
1 year, I worked for Lindwell's Flowers in the Valley, and a mate had a high ace van, and I saw an ad, I took it, and I delivered flowers. It was the funniest day of my life.
Why?
Because you walk into these offices, you know, and you're the guy who comes to the front desk, and behind you are 20 girls, you know, working away, and they're all just looking at you, just a drool coming out, going,
begging it to be them.
Are those flowers for me? Are those flowers for me? Yes, it's for Christine. It was the funniest day ever. The desperation. But what I used to overlook was it doesn't mean anything. You just got to do something little, don't you?
Well, see, for me personally, Sean and I have just said, like, it's a Hallmark holiday and every day should be Valentine's Day. And I truly believe that. Like, I'm all good for it.
Yeah.
But I think if you do something unexpected, like you, Marto, like, you're not, you know, the most romantic man that I've ever met. So
you don't know. The guy that wants the KFC bucket for Valentine's Day.
No, I just want the cheap meat. You had the filler up meat.
So if you do something unexpected for Kath, you will win so much brownie points.
But I've learned this in the last few years. All you need is a card with some words written in your own
hand. And beautiful words hey, honey, this is my shopping list for next week.
No.
Like legitimately.
And a scratchy. I reckon that's all it takes in
a
my
scratchy?
Joint.
Oh, scratchy.
Kath loves a scratchy because what you're doing is offering hope.
You're offering not much.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I love you so much, I'm going to give you a slim chance of winning $2.
From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast, it's Triple M's Bogan's Gone News.
Oh, guys, I'm very excited. This morning we go to the Wild West, Western Australia. A bloke over there has stunned cops when he blew a breath test at more than six times the legal limit.
Oh, that's trying.
How great is that? Police randomly breath tested the bloke on Sunday morning at about 3 a.m. Where he returned a reading of 0.341.
Oh, how's he alive?
Well, that's amazing, isn't it? First of all, I think if he's driven in to the booze bus lane and they didn't know he was 0.341 before he blew into the bag, he should be let go.
Is there anything there, what he said to the cops when they said, have you been drinking? Did he say just two? Is that, like everyone else.
He didn't say two or what, just two kegs. But the cops said that the reading, and I quote, biologically shouldn't be possible.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. He should be dead.
Is that a record?
You know you've done well on the breath test when instead of a judge, they send you to a science lab. The Derby police tweeted, it is like driving whilst under a surgical anaesthetic or being in a coma.
Oh, that's terrific.
How great. He's got to be let go or test done on him. You know, he's like a drunk Wolverine. He just won't stop. Now,
gets even better. The bloke also has two prior life disqualifications from driving.
Oh, he's got problems.
So this will be his third life disqualification. How many lives does he have? He's like a bogan cat.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Always a treat to have him in Brisbane. The Harlem Globetrotters. We've got Dragon and Ice. Good morning, guys.
Good
morning.
Good day, mate.
Oh, that is good.
That is good.
Have you been practicing?
Actually good.
What else have you got?
I was worried that's what they were doing at Customs and Immigration now.
Cheers.
You know,
cheers.
Show your work visa. Give us a good day.
We actually tried some Vegemite the other day.
Vegemite. Vegemite is a better name for it.
Well,
my cup of tea.
Salty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't try it the right way.
Oh, no, you just did it by the spoon.
Yep. Yeah, how'd you know?
Yeah, well, that's the number one prank that I pull on American friends if they come over and say, what's this Vegemite about?
Oh,
have a big teaspoon, mate. Get it in ya.
That's what happened to us. So, yeah, maybe we'll try it again with the right way with the toast and the butter.
Well, you're not going to cramp up ever again. You've got the amount of salt to last a lifetime in a teaspoon of Vegemite.
Well, if you're learning Australia, and you are the world's most travelled basketball team, well, how many countries do you go to per year?
Well, the Globetrotters have been to 123 countries and territories. Oh. I myself been to 52, and it'll be 53.
Oh,
where's your most interesting? Where's the weirdest place you've been?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but like my favorite, honestly, is New Zealand and Australia. Those two are my favorite.
Why?
Because I love the people, I love the scenery, and you guys are very welcoming.
Mm. Can I just say, when did women join the Harlem Globetrotters? It's awesome, but when did that happen?
So this happened in 1985. Lynette Woodard was the first woman to play on an all-males team.
And it's been, because every time I've seen them and come and done media, there's never been a chick amongst them.
Well, I'm happy to be here. This is an honor to be here, actually. So, yeah, so I guess Lynette just paved the way for us. It's been less than 20 of us since 1985. So,
what's your signature move, Ice? What do you do?
So I am a good dribbler.
Yeah, of course you are. You're low to the ground.
Hence to the ice. When my defenders guard me, it's like they're on
the
ice because they're always sliding.
Like she doesn't like to brag.
April 9, State Netball Centre. Tickets at Ticketek. So if you've never seen the Globetrotters and you and the kids want to go out there, it is at Queensland State Netball Centre, April 9, tickets at Ticketek. Let's go through this. Here's the headline. Pregnant wife of NRL football star defends decision to not vaccinate kids.
Okay.
We're talking about Bryce Cartwright here. Now, how do I describe Bryce Cartwright? Brilliantly talented footballer, grew up at Penrith. Of course, he's the nephew of John Cartwright, the great former Penrith player and also was the coach of the Gold Coast Titans. So when he ran into a few problems over the last few years, Nick, like brilliant player, able to offload, able to do a bit of everything, a little bit tackle shy sometimes, doesn't like using his shoulders.
Okay.
All right, so he ran into troubles down in Sydney, decided to have a fresh start at the Gold Coast. Last year during the season, he was woeful.
Oh, dear, really? Why?
He was playing a me game, not a team game. So he was always doing things that weren't in the program.
Right,
and,
okay.
And they
also
dropped him.
Also, that's a bad sentence. A fresh start at the Gold Coast. Oh, boy. That has never worked out well for anyone.
You can Google him yourself. He has had a few problems.
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, okay, don't judge. Good. Let's not get judgy.
I'm not.
Get judgy after I start telling you.
Right.
This, okay. So his girlfriend, Chanel, spelt S-H, no, let's not do that, Greg, who's currently spelt different. Well, it's not a name, Chanel, let's just face
well,
it.
Well, it's a perfume, and it's not.
No, this is spelt S-H-A-N-E-L-L-E.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Ooh, I think we are dealing with some bogans.
Okay. She might be, she is his wife. She's currently 39 weeks pregnant, so about to go, okay, with a second bub. And they've been talking about their first child has not been immunised, okay? Right. So we're dealing with anti-vaxxers.
Koa is his name.
That is correct. Now, they've done their research. Now, his research, he has a tattoo running from his collarbone down to his pelvis with his name written in running writing.
His own name.
Okay. Don't you get judgy.
No, I'm trying really hard.
Well, it's when the cops find you on Mad Monday and you don't have your license on you. They can just
turn you home.
Here I am. Look at me. This is how you spell it. Look
okay.
at my shirt.
And she goes, so she's not vaccinating this child that's coming or the one that's already here, okay? And she said, I understand. I've done my research. I know I'm right. And if they don't let me go to school, we'll be homeschooling them. Good luck with that. That works well for
She does say we nourish and support our gut health with whole foods and probiotics.
Okay. So you do realise, as everyone understands, anti-vaxxers, they're mainly, usually hippies going, I don't want all that toxins, et cetera, but they are also responsible for these recent measles outbreaks around the world. Mm-hmm. And the World Health Organisation says, are you doing?
Right.
And when you're thinking about vaccines, do you go to scientists or do you go to Chanel's? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know.
So they understand and they said, we're sorting it out. But where it gets interesting for me, so I'll let the anti-vax stuff go, all right?
Will you? That's unusual.
Here's where Chanel gets more interesting. Chanel said she will not be using nappies when her newborn arrives.
Oh, darling, don't do that.
Now, Nick, you've got a four-month-old. For this baby, and have a listen, I think this is where you should change your whole operation at your house. For this baby, we are going to try no nappies and do elimination communication. She explained this further, saying she's
like an exorcist.
Oh, I think so. But here's the clincher. She would be teaching her bub to go outside on the grass. I think
what do you mean? No.
She's having a Labrador, not a child. But
she's going to say like
you put his nose in it.
4-week-old baby is going to be encouraged to go out on the grass.
That's what she's saying. That's what Chanel's telling me. Elimination communication. So but does your 4-month-old Charlie, does he tell you before he goes to the toilet? Like he doesn't scratch at the door going, I need to go. So they don't tell you. It just comes out.
He must be behind.
Just imagine, because both you and Brendo have very young children who have been backed up for a little while. What was your record?
Yeah. I think mine was 11 days.
And what was yours, Brendo? What was your daughter's?
I was about to say 10 weeks. It wasn't 10 weeks. I think it was 11 days, yeah. 11,
can you 12. Imagine? She's just going to be watching this child thinking it's twitching and keep taking out it to the grass and leaving it there and then picking it up.
Hey, guys, do you want to come to my place for a dinner party? None of the kids are vaccinated and they shit outdoors.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.